Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, yes, yes. Nazim Rashid here. Greetings, greetings, greetings to everybody out there. May the peace that only God has be with you. This is Nazim Rashid, Nazim Abdul Rashid, author of Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self, to the self you once were. When I say child self, that's what I'm referring to. Yes, yes, yes. Welcome to a fantastic show today. This is installment part 23. Isn't that something? 23. Man, we're winding down now. There won't be many more now. We've covered a lot of areas. So I really encourage everybody to go back into the archives. Yes, to blogtalkradio.com/emailalfred and scroll down through the archives. And go through all the installments. I'm telling you, you should catch all of them if you haven't done it already. And plus, you can download them all free of charge. In case you miss something, like say for instance, maybe installment 17 really hit you, really hit a nerve with you. The light bulb came on, right? Well, download that one. Yeah. And when you click on the show, and you, right above it, you'll see the audio bar. And right to the right of that, you see a tiny little cloud. Click on that. That downloads the program, and it'll go into your download folder. You change the name because it'll come out numbers like show 1984 whatever. Change that into the actual show title it is, and put into your music file, and there you go, your music folder, and there you go. Okay, yeah, that's all there is to that. I'm telling you, this is fantastic. You spend a lot of money going to counseling, and I'm a counselor. I've been in mental health and drug counseling field for over 20 years. I'm a pro counselor, okay? I'm telling you how you can get a lot of the same advice on this show, free. Seminars, you're going to spend $500, $1,000 easily on weekend seminars, giving you a lot of the same information, okay? So I really encourage you to do that. And my show, the Reconnected Show that comes on Saturday, at 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, all right, at the same network, blogtalkradio.com/reconnected, like my book, Reconnected. That's how you tune into that show. And the same thing, you can download any of those shows. That show's been on for 4.5 years. It has over 117,000 hits from all over the world. All right, free therapy from the best counselor and therapist you can imagine. Free advice. If you go to those people, you'll spend $200 an hour at the most, at the least. Yeah, very important. I do life coaching also. You can contact me at my email, nrbookclub@gmail.com, nrbookclub@gmail.com. My website, 3 W's. We have cloudsofabundance.com. Again, cloudsofabundance.com. .com, all right? You can get my book there, and also at Barnes & Noble, they have it too. Okay? All right, got that? I really want to hear from you. We've covered so many things here. We're trying our best to provide tools for your conscious parenting and personal growth need. Oh, by the way, for all you Muslims out there, Ramadan Mubarak, I'm fasting myself, so my throat is a little dry right now, but I'll get through it. And I wish, pray that Allah give everybody a speedy, wonderful, fantastic fast, and you have your questions answered, prayers answered during this period, for sure, inshallah. Okay? All right, fantastic. Okay. So, like last week, we were talking about scanning or summarizing the personal growth areas. Okay? So we're winding down now, personal growth areas. Last week, we talked about self-esteem, doing a little summarizing there, and we're going to start there and go through the different personal growth areas before we wind down this series, okay? All right, very important to understand that. And I talked about affirmations last time, how affirmations are so very important for everybody to use. Affirmations, yes, affirmations. Affirmations might seem like a lie. You know, if you say, I am excellent, I'm doing fantastic, I'm earning $80,000 a year, and you're unemployed presently. You might say, well, Brother Nazim, that's a lie. I can't say that. Yes, say that, because that's, you're speaking to your inner self, you're speaking to a higher self. You're speaking to your potential. So you keep affirming that potential, and that potential becomes a reality. So you say these things. Affirmation is so, so very important. They're very powerful tools to use on a daily basis. They represent where you want to be, not where you are. Affirmations pull you in the direction of your goals by affirming what is already inside you. Affirmations can and will, if internalized, raise your self-esteem and self-image. Your value and standards have increased because you are now believing something different from what you were believing before. Yes, that's how it works. Once your belief changes, aha, see, that's the key. Allow you all to believe in the worst about yourself. You believe in your failures. You believe in your maladies. You believe in your diseases, your sicknesses. Well, I get a cold every year, September. Here it comes. I knew it. Here it comes. I'm cold. I got a cold again. Huh? Your relationships. Well, I knew it wasn't going to work. The last three didn't work. This one's not going to work either. I knew it. I knew it. I could have told you so. Here it is again. Bad relationship. See what you've done? Affirmations can and will, if internalized, you have to claim this. Raise your self-esteem and self-image. Yes. Your value and standards have increased. Why? Because you are now believing something different from what you were believing before. See, once your belief changes, your life changes. Your energy changes. Your energy, you project change, and then your environment changes. Yeah, absolutely. And make sure you tell your children this, you know. Yeah, tell them that. Yeah, tell them how you feel about them, their potentials, possibilities, and probabilities. When you're interacting with little ones, you are going to express to him or her how they make you feel when they are displaying the greatness of their own genius within. Yes, you are. Just telling your child that you love them will have tremendous results all by itself. Try saying that to your reflection in the mirror and see what happens. Huh? Yeah, love you. Love yourself. One of the goals of my book is to create a desire in you to really love yourself on a deep level. Don't be afraid of the mirror. I have regular meetings in the mirror. I do it every morning. I call it my staff meeting. Yeah. I have a good time in the mirror talking to myself or myself in there as I interject different selves of me in the mirror. Yeah, why not? Yeah. The children need to be around adults who naturally express their feelings of health and wellness. Yes, not the gloom and doom and blues all the time, huh? They learn by the examples they see in their immediate environment. When they see you expressing joy and happiness in hearing of someone else's accomplishments, huh? They in turn will do the same when someone they know tells them of something good they have done. See? We're being happy when someone else is happy and enjoying the positive manifestations. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, for sure. Very important to do that. Dr. Dennis Whately, you know, one of my mentors, he says, so they recognize the universality of fear and anxiety. Winners don't give in to these emotions. Accept yourself as you are right now, an imperfect, changing, growing, worthwhile person. Yes. Realize that liking yourself and feeling that you're a super individual in your special way is not necessarily egotistical. No. Enjoy the unique person that you are just in being alive right now. Understand. Understand the truth that although we as individuals are not born with equal physical and mental attributes, we are born with the equal right to feel the excitement and joy and believing that we deserve the very best in life. Most successful people imagine and believe in their own worth, even when they have nothing but a dream to hold on to. Isn't that something? Yeah. You got to be sometimes your own cheerleading squad. Yeah, I talked about this before, you know? Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So, just imagine a bunch of you in a mirror when you first wake up. I'm telling you, I do this every morning. A bunch of you in the mirror, just smiling and cheering you on. They're saying, "Hey, my man, you look good today. You look like you're about to close a $1 million deal today. Oh, you're awesome. You're a fantastic blessing to the world. You are getting better and better each day, and it is a blessing to witness it right before our eyes. Your life is going great, just as you have been envisioning it to be. You have money coming in from different channels. You have a wife or a husband that is just what you need in terms of support and partnership. You have a clientele base that is developing at skyrocketing rates because of your insight, training, mentoring, and decision-making skills. Your short and long-term goals are right on track. Your books are published, popular, and best-selling. Your songs are produced and recorded by major artists, a major recording contract, resulting in hits and royalties. You are financially independent, not needing to trade hours for dollars for anyone anymore. Out of the plantation. Huh? Now just imagine that you come up to cause some good feelings inside you. Isn't this something? See, self-esteem is also knowing that you can influence some kind of change in your environment. This is really important. Really pay attention here. This feeling adds to your self-worth and gives your life more meaning. You need to know that you can make something change around you. You need to know that you have some kind of gift, talent, or answer that the world is needing. You do have the ability to deliver this message. And you know that this message will create needed changes that somebody, yes, somebody will appreciate. Yeah. There have been cases in suicide counseling. Where clients have stated that they felt that nothing they did or could do would make any difference in any respect. They felt their life was meaningless. No one would miss them if they were gone. They have no connection to life itself and no answer as to why they are existing. Oh, this, I'm telling you, this is important. I didn't have that. I was suicidal when I was young. I didn't have that. It is important to know that there will be some kind of reaction to your action. Now, how many parents know what self-esteem really is? Huh? How many parents are making sure that their children have high self-esteem and that they feel worthy? Come on, huh? How many parents are lacking self-esteem themselves and are therefore unable to give what they do not have? On the other hand, how many parents are harboring self-hate on one level or another, thus passing that attribute on to their offspring? Man, that's so key. That's so key. Boy, I hope you got that. And if I was talking too fast, please go into archives. Go in there and hear it as many times as you want to. And remember that audio bar? You'll put your mouse up there and go back, like rewinding as many times as you want to get it. Yeah. And download it to your hard drive so you can hear it and put it in your car and burn CDs and share it with people. I'm telling you, this is important. Look, this is your life. Isn't your life that important for you to spend conscious time to get it to be the best possible way you want it to be? Aren't you that important? Aren't you? Your child self inside would think so. Your child self inside is waiting for you to address him or her. They're still waiting for you to hold him or her, hug him or her, tell him or her that you love them. Yeah, child self is waiting for this. Your child self is waiting for something to, that your parents could not give you. They didn't have the tools to give you. Either they didn't want to or they just didn't know any better. It's up to you now to take care of that child self. When are you going to do it? Get to the book, reconnect, and start now addressing that, the needs of the child self. Become a mentor to the self you once were. Okay? That's very important. All right. So, again, if you want to hear the whole self-esteem issue, go back in the archives and find that. You can do that. You can find that. Real important. I talk about cultural self-esteem. These are important. The level of your self-esteem also affects your communication with others. Did you know that? Those who have low self-esteem often view and perceive their world differently than those who possess a high level of self-esteem. Oh, this is good. Those with challenged self-esteem are inclined to be more defensive and hypersensitive. Hello. They are generally quicker to think that they are being attacked, talked down to, ignored, disrespected, and are slighted in some way or another. Some of them even have that on their mind when they are with people or just out in the public. It is like they are looking for someone that in their mind is finding fault with them in some way. Some appear to be picking a fight. Yeah. You see this kind of personality at public high schools when class is in and students are coming out waiting for the bus or their rides are just hanging out, you know. A high self-esteem person may talk or write to a low self-esteem person about a personal matter. The low self-esteem person will generally misinterpret, misunderstand, and or completely miss the point and intention of the other person. Low esteem one will think that they are being criticized, disrespected, and or attacked, when that wasn't the intention at all of the other party. Hear this? They will only see words or hear words that they feel are the criticizing ones and leave out all the rest. They won't see the whole letter or conversation in the proper context. Before they open the letter or before the other person begins to speak to them, they are armed for a fight. Like the law of attraction states, what they think about, they bring about. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Wow. Let me go on. Oh, you know, I'll tell you what, I'm going to read this little example here. I was going to bypass this, but I did talk about this before. But this is important. I mean, this is really something. But I'll skip on to another area, okay? All right. For example, let's take Ramon. This is a classic example. Yeah, really focus on this. Ramon, the high self-esteem person, and his friend Sam, the challenged self-esteem person. Ramon and Sam have been friends for a short while, working in the same grocery store for the past 6 months. Both Ramon and Sam have a high school education and loving parents who support them. That's real right there. Ramon has always been self-motivated and always looking for opportunities for growth, development, and an upward movement in his career and general pursuits. Yeah. Sam, on the other hand, is content with conforming with the crowd and letting life happen and dealing with issues as they present themselves. When Sam notices people who demonstrate joy, happiness, and optimism, he looks at them and scours his face and says to himself or others around him, "What is wrong with that one? Huh? He must be smoking something." End quote. He will laugh to himself or laugh out loud at them. Sam does not believe in optimism. He thinks everybody has some sort of agenda and that he has to be guarded most of the time. He does not think too highly of himself and does not see himself in any kind of elevated position with authority over anyone or having a lot of responsibility. If you ask him what he thinks of himself, he might say he is just another leaf in the wind or just another squirrel trying to get his nut. When asked if he wants to move up in his position at the store, he says, "Hey, and why should I change now? After being here steadily for 6 months, hey, I'll stay right here, make no waves, and take my steady paycheck every 2 weeks and be content. The job is easy. Just cleaning up the store, packing and unpacking goods. Why should I think about anything else?" End quote. Well, that kind of disposition is easy, convenient, and conforms to the general group that is around. That mentality represents the group's self-esteem or accepted standard in culture. All right? Now, Sam and Ramon have been getting along on the job pretty well, though Sam thinks that Ramon is a bit weird. Yeah. When Ramon is not around, Sam has something to laugh about with his other buddies, and that makes for good entertainment for the group.
Yeah.
Now, Ramon notices an opportunity on the announcement board for an opening in their bakery department. He thought about Sam. See, Sam told him they liked baking things at home, and he thought about becoming a baker.
Yeah.
Ramon talked to the boss and the bakers that presently worked there. He found out that the position paid more than Sam's basic janitorial position. The boss was also looking for someone within the store that wanted to move up in the ranks.
How about that?
Now, Ramon was interested in that job because he already had a scholarship waiting for him at a nearby culinary institute. He just had to wait another 3 months before that school would be ready for him. He already has targeted a major restaurant that he envisions himself working for soon after he graduates. He has gone into that restaurant often, just to sit in there and get a feel of that place. He noticed how the staff treated one another. He also noticed how they treated the customers and how customers responded to them. He witnessed the customers' faces as they finished their meal and how they thanked the waiter or waitress for a fine service they received. He noticed how clean and neat the restaurant was, how the staff was dressed, how artistically the restaurant was designed. He visualizes himself working there. He sees himself fitting right in, contributing to the high standard of the restaurant. Oh, yeah. He sees himself being a team player with an opportunity for advancement. He has no problem working as a janitor at the grocery store, for he knows every opportunity to perform excellently is a transferable skill that will serve his needs. Well, all right. Ramon had me a high self-esteem. Thought that Sam would also see this as an opportunity. Be appreciative of the tip and jump on it. Yeah. He'll be delighted to see his friend get a break. He will feel a sense of happiness from his happiness. Yeah. Ramon excitedly tells Sam what he discovered. He says, "Hey, Sam, hey, man. Some time ago, you told me that you were interested in becoming a baker someday. Well, the bakery department will have an entry-level opening soon, and the boss wants the position to be filled from within. Hey, man, how about that? I know you can do the job, man. You have to have ambition, self-determination, multitask orientation, motivation to excel from within, a love for the work, and optimistic personality. I know you don't want this to. I know you don't want this kind of job forever. I know you don't see yourself being a janitor all your life. I know you want to move up, make more money, and have an opportunity for growth. I can see you fulfilling your dreams of being a top-notch baker with your own bakery someday and plenty of employees under you. I even talked to the current baker about the job, and he told me that the job was a piece of cake. Literally. I grabbed the application for you. What do you think, man? Huh? What do you think?" Sam couldn't believe what he was hearing. He looked quite puzzled at Ramon the whole time of his conversation, waited patiently until he finished talking. When Ramon finished, he responded, "In the world are you doing, Ramon? Where do you get off telling me what I should or should not be doing with my life, huh? I never told you that I wanted to be a baker. I was just messing around with you then. Yeah, I enjoyed that little bit of baking at the house, but that is as far as that went. What's wrong with me the way I am anyway? I am fine being a janitor here. I know what to expect, what I'm getting paid every 2 weeks, and I don't have any stress or responsibilities or major expectations from anybody. Who do you think you are anyway? You come here all bubbly-eyed and think that I'm going to just jump and dance to your song, huh? Do you see anybody here acting like that? See anybody acting the way you act? Everybody else here minds their own business, does their own job, and doesn't try to make changes for anyone or be what they are not. No one should try to change anyone. You need to accept people right where they are, not where you want them to be. You think you're better than us, don't you? Bouncing around here smiling at all the customers and talking to other staff members and helping others when you aren't even asked to. You are no better than us. I don't know why you act like that. You need to check yourself, man. Get in line. Act like the rest of us so people won't think you're a nut. Me working at the bakery department? Huh. As far as all the characteristics you mentioned, you must not know me too well. You don't know me. I don't fit any of those things. You must be out of your mind. Well, Ramon was floored. As he walked back out to put the application back where it came from, he felt quite disappointed in his so-called friend. He, being a high achiever, sees the world around him optimistically. He sees opportunity, not rejection. Positive probabilities, not negative consequences. The best in people, not the negative agenda. The love, not the bitterness. And the empathy and compassion for others, not the suspicions and mistrust. See? Self-esteem affects also your senses. It is like wearing colored glasses. See, the high self-esteem person is wearing blue glasses, and the low self-esteem is wearing the green glasses. Huh? It won't matter how logical and intelligent the first party is toward the second party. The second party is always going to view their world through those green glasses. That's what they have chosen to put on, either consciously or unconsciously. There is no real communication between these two until they have on the same colored glasses. Your hearing, touch, and smell are also affected. Do you know that? The low self-esteem person will hear the worst, feel the worst, and smell the worst. That's right. The high self-esteem person will hear the best, feel the best, and smell the best because they're looking for the best in everything. You experience the way you want to experience or the manner you have been conditioned to experience. See? Yeah. The standards that we are conditioned to accept as we are growing up don't have to be a permanent part of your life. You don't have to carry those burdens around with you all because your mother, your grandmother, and great-grandmother did the same. You don't have to carry that burden around with you. The old past conditioning and programming, you don't have to do that. As you mature in your emotionality and spirituality, you can make conscious choices about how you want your life to unfold. You can reset your internal thermostat to whatever you choose for yourself. If those old traditional standards work for your parents, then that is great for them. It doesn't mean, however, that they will work for your life. You might need to change your belief system, religion, self-talk, friends, habits, recreational activities, environment, what you allow in your consciousness, such as contrary messages from radio, television, music, and social conversation. You got a choice. You got a choice. Wouldn't you feel better knowing that you have set yourself in a position to receive better? How would your life unfold for you knowing that you are consciously going to use the law of attraction to attract the best elements, opportunities, and resources toward you? See, these are some benefits of having high self-esteem. Yeah, I'm telling you, it's so important. I wish I had this when I was young, for sure. All right? Now, self-appreciation. Now, we have different selves inside of ourselves. You know, that's why I always say, you got to watch it when you hear people say, just believe in yourself. Oh, just believe in yourself. You got to qualify that or you might be running to a ditch. What self are you talking about? Huh? Now, it is important to mention self-appreciation as it coincides with your self-esteem. There is a higher self in all of us that is always working on our behalf, whether you are conscious of it or not. This is the self that God breathed into us as we are developing in the womb. Yeah. This is the part of us that is divine, and that same self will go on after we leave this life. Yeah. This is the self that never dies. The self has also been called our soul. This is the self that that was with God before this earthly experience and will return back to God after this experience, probationary experience called life. It is this self that needs our appreciation. This is also the same self that should be focused on when you say believe in yourself. Now here you go, see? Got it? This is the self that needs your appreciation and focus when you say believe in yourself. Many of us don't think about this self in this way, and that is why we have more dark experiences when we subscribe to this saying without using the proper context as we refer to the self. Example, I mentioned this before, you know, just believe in yourself without qualifying statements. Which self are you talking about? The lower self or the higher self? See, our intuition and premonitions are all connected to this higher self. See, when you have hunches about some ideas or directions in your life, you know, you needn't wonder where those hunches came from. When you know these facts and consciously bear witness to these realities, you will naturally desire to give more appreciation for this self. It might be a self you're not even familiar with. Yeah, get familiar with that self, okay? That's the self that you love when you look in the mirror. All right? The same self nudges you to feel good, to laugh, to get excited, have fun, and to experience love. It feels good to feel good, doesn't it? When you feel good, you raise the vibrations of your energy field. When your energy field has elevated vibrations, you start to see goals come closer to you and healing states manifest. What I have experienced being sick with a cold, for instance, I have mentally imagined myself jumping on my trampoline, yeah, laughing at some episode of comedy on TV, or dancing to an African drum tape I have. See, it didn't matter how the cold was affecting my energy levels and physical disposition. I imagine myself in a completely different situation. When I felt better, through my imagination, the effects from the cold started diminishing. When you feel good, the finish line comes closer and closer and closer to you, faster. Oh, yes, oh, yes. When you dwell in this higher self, you get in touch with more of your possibilities. In the field of energy medicine, a lot of you are not familiar with energy medicine or energy techniques, energy modalities. This idea is emphasized. I'm telling you, I would suggest you do that. Practitioners in these fields, here's some like Reiki, quantum biofeedback, matrix energetics, body talk, polarity, cranial sacral, reconnection techniques, and others, tell you to go to that part of you which is divine. Yeah, I challenge you. Look, go to YouTube, put in matrix energetics, and just spend some time there. Dr. Richard Bartlett, it was given to him. And I'm telling you, a lot of healing takes place instantaneously through that process. Yes, people with stage 4 cancer have been cured instantly through matrix energetics. Scoliosis, the curvature of the spine, has been straightened out, cleared up in seconds with this method. Oh, yeah. Eric Pearl, who started the reconnection technique, same with him, too. I've experienced some of this personally. So I'm bearing witness that this is true. Go there. Check it out. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Don't be spooky about it either. Yeah. All right? Relax. You know, they all say to relax and let the conscious mind go and allow the higher self to take over. That's what the practitioners say to you. Yeah. You know, that allows the healing to take place. And redirect your energy toward that which is healing, whole, and aligned. Some call it the heart space or third eye. But it all comes back to that special part of you that has the capacity for miracles and life transformations. This is why we should constantly appreciate this part of ourselves. Yeah. Now, another aspect of self-appreciation is to notice the positive traits you now possess. Make a list of all the good in you. I'm telling you, isn't something? We focus too many things on the negative. All things wrong with us. We got a spot on our face, a mole here, something wrong with us, eyes or hair. All the things you don't like about yourself. How about the good things that you like about yourself? Make a list. Make a list. So you can start appreciating the best within you. Are you compassionate? Are you considerate? Are you loving to yourself? Are you loving to others? Do you demonstrate being human on a daily basis? A lot of people are not human out here. Everybody you see is not in human form. Do you see beauty everywhere you go? Are you willing to show appreciation to others? Are you willing to show appreciation to God consistently? Are you trustworthy? Are you dependable? Are you a responsible person? Are you a productive person? Do you laugh and enjoy life? Do you share and receive openly? That reminds me, I had someone on my show to reconnect the show on Saturdays who was laughing yoga expert. I think I'm saying it right. A laughing yoga expert. Have you ever heard of such a thing? A laughing yoga expert. I went to a class. They focus on laughing. Laughing, laughing, belly laughing, 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 laughing till you cry. Yeah, it's important to laugh and enjoy life. Laughing, look it up. Put laughing yoga in Google and see what comes up. Yeah. See, we all possess many good traits that we sometimes overlook. And as we allow the negative circumstance to become our dominant vibration, see, what happens? What we focus on, we promote. Did you know that? What you focus on, you promote. You're ruled by your dominant thoughts. What you think about, you bring about. You attract more of what you allow to sit in your mental pilot seat. See, you have much good in you. And when you can bring it out on a daily basis, pray on it, meditate on it, make and say affirmations on it, make it your dominant vibration, you will see your life transform and become a beacon of light for others. I'm telling you, bear witness. Oh, you got that? Okay. Now, that's self-esteem. Now, after that, we talked about visualization. You got to be able to visualize what you want. Be a good creator. Be creative in this process. Paint the picture of how you want your life to be. When you visualize, you materialize. And you got to do that. It's very important. Very important. See, visualization is extremely necessary for all the elements in my installments to work for you. Yeah. It is intertwined with all the concepts presented here. You have to clearly see yourself validating others. Operating as a committed optimist, as a high esteem and high self-image person, connected to God, manifesting strong, unwavering faith, exhibiting strong communication and listening skills, continuously being grateful for the known, unknown blessing, having good financial intelligence, thinking and acting as a responsible, contributing adult, internalizing and managing your emotions, having only healthy, life-producing attachments. Accepting only the proper relationship characteristics. No codependencies. Now, as one with a strong, independent thinking mindset, but simultaneously checking the ego, knowing that we are only a wave in the ocean and not the ocean. Got that? All right. Yeah. All right, we talked about that quite a bit. Like I said, if you want to hear more in detail, go back in the archives. So like I'm saying, in case you those who came on later, I'm summarizing all the personal growth areas we talked about before in the past 22 episodes. All right? We talked about self-image. This contributes highly to conscious parenting and personal growth. Remember, your kids be what they see, not what you say. Again, kids be what they see, not on what you say. Not what you say. Got that? That self-image is very important also. The self-image or concept includes self-esteem, but it is broader. It concerns your overall perception of your traits, abilities, limitations, shortcomings, and strengths. So self-concept or self-image and self-esteem as the evaluative component. But self-concept includes a great deal more, like what is appropriate to you, and what you are able to do or not do, what your strengths are, and what your limitations are. See? It's that picture you see in the mirror. That's your self-image. You see somebody great, somebody accomplishing great great goals, crossing the finish line before everybody else, getting that $200,000 job or a contract that you know you're worth, having a fantastic wife, fantastic husband, supportive, best friend, prosperity and life partner. Yeah. Yeah. That's how it should be. Not a slave, not somebody you dictate to or you master over. Equal partner. Huh? Yeah, this is a proper image for a marriage. Very important to understand that. Yeah, so I encourage you to go back in archives and hear all that. I won't go through all that right now. I want everybody to understand that's so important. If you want to raise yourself, if you want to be something else, you got to raise how you see yourself. You can't want something without first seeing it happening first in your life. Got that? You'll never get there in a healthy way unless you actually see yourself being in that position. All right? Yeah, yeah, very important to understand that. So your self-image dwells in your subconscious, not on that subconscious level. The conscious level is responsible for collecting information from the environment, storing it in the memory cells, and making rational decisions. The subconscious is responsible for autonomic body control, such as breathing, heartbeat, storage of information, and creative goal seeking. Mm-hmm. The conscious level cannot do anything without consulting with the subconscious level first. Did you know that? The subconscious level checks its storage bank, which houses the self-image, and then replays the self-image information back to the conscious level. See, it is not the conscious level that controls the subconscious level of thinking, but the subconscious level that controls the conscious level. Got that? Nothing is done without reference to the subconscious level of thinking. Its sole function is to follow what we feed it. Being totally objective, you can either feed positive producing information or negative producing information, and you are doing it just that way every day, whether you are conscious of it or not. So, when you notice favorable results in your life, you should look to see what self-image information is being brought forth to the conscious reality. You do this by first noticing what kind of self-talk you are conducting. The more you can internalize this process, the more you can model and guide your children. See? Healthy ones realize that they are in control of their internal thermostat. When they want change to happen, they reset the thermostat to their desired temperature. They change their self-talk and internal image of themselves. Yeah, they change all that. You know, they walk, talk, dance for themselves. They conduct all the affairs differently and create new standards. They do that. They chart a different course and stay on their new track. Soon, this new behavior becomes the new habit, and then at that time, it is their new way of being set on automatic. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you get what I said before? Yeah, I said they walk and talk and act differently. Yeah, okay. All right. So, that's very important to understand that. Okay? Self-image is so, so very important. You know? So, you got to look at what you're thinking about, what you're saying to yourself regularly. What do you say to yourself? What have you told yourself today? Today, let's just take today. We all talk to ourselves either, you know, audibly or internally. What kind of messages have you been telling yourself today? See, visualizing what you want instead of what you don't want may seem like common sense to most of us, even though most people follow the latter instead of the former. See? Our mind gives us what we dwell on, whether it is constant conversation with ourselves or others. or a picture we hold in our minds. You know? So, are you constantly thinking about these things, like the job you hate, the people you have to work around that annoy you, the spouse that you are loathing, that's awful, bills that keep increasing, the poverty that seems to control you, relationships that you that are depriving you of life, the kids making you sick and mad, the fear in your neighborhood, the downward spiraling of your life, the glass ceiling on your job, racism, sexism, the deteriorating school system. If you are, then you are subtly giving your subconscious mind more data to feed back to you as more of the same reality. Remember, there are subconscious level of awareness only makes real for us what we hold in our mind and in our conversations. Yeah. So you see, you have to change your mental pictures in your conversations. You have to form a picture of what you want and not what you don't want. Even on Facebook, you know, I have Facebook. I got a whole bunch of people on my Facebook page. And so many times people are posting these negative postings, fightings, pregnant girls fighting one another, grandmothers fighting one another, fights, racism, cops killing more black people. I mean, all kinds of stuff. Negative, negative, negative. You might say, well, that's real, brother. Love is also real. Harmony is also real. People helping one another up is also real. Why can't you post that? Huh? People helping one another. Post more of that. Yeah. See, you have to have such a strong image of your new desired experiences that you can actually taste, smell, and feel the image as if you already have it. Feel the feelings as if what you wanted was already in your possession. If it is a new car, what kind of car is it? What year and color is it? What does the interior smell like? How does it feel on the road? If we hold this idea long enough and really feel and own this image, it will on some level manifest itself to you. Yeah. It is like a basketball coach telling his team not to miss so many baskets and wonders why they keep on missing baskets. He is putting the wrong image in their minds, and that wrong image keeps on manifesting itself on the court. You operate from the dominant thought in your brains. I keep telling you this. The dominant thought here is what? Missing baskets. The mind does not compute negatives like not. The mind picks up only the objective, missing baskets. We tell our kids to stop acting like animals and we get more animal-like behavior. We tell our spouse to stop arguing and stop nagging and we get more of the same. We have to focus on what we want. We have to internalize and pass this on to our children. See? Giving children the vision for creative and productive imagination is a wonderful gift. Children are naturally imaginative, and to encourage them to be more imaginative is such a blessing for you and them. When children talk about their imagination and visions, you should show interest and ask questions that spark them to think more about their mental pictures. Don't brush them off by saying, "Don't be silly. There you go with your imaginary friends again." Look, who knows? You might have a real visionary, artist, musician, sculptor, or even a medium or a psychic on your hands. Support them in their dreams, and you'll be supporting their future accomplishments. I hope you heard that. I really hope you heard that. That is so important. So important. We talked about communication and listening skills. And you know, now you know most of y'all don't have this right. You might say you're a good listener. Ask the other person. Don't ask yourself. Now this time, get out of the mirror. Ask the other person, "Honey, do you think I'm a good listener? Hey, my man, do you think I'm a good listener?" You might say, "Hell no." You know? So the idea that we have to learn what it takes to be a good listener. We listen to ourselves all the time when we're talking to people. We don't listen to the other person objectively and empathize with them. Yeah. Yeah, this is very important to understand this. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I won't go into all the details. I want you to go back in the archives and hear those things. But I talked about I messages and you messages. I message focuses on your feelings and concerns. You messages criticizes and blames. That's why you shouldn't say you. You should do this. You should do that. You should do this. You should do this. You should do that. Although you should. Stop it. I feel better. You see? Yeah. So I talk about it. So go back in archives and hear that. All right. Very important to understand that. Open questions versus closed questions. You talking to children? We're asking questions that will make them explain themselves to you instead of asking them, how you feel. How you feel, boy? How you feel, girl? No, that's a yes or no, fine or whatever question. We might say, tell me how your day was today, little one. How did you do in that math class? Tell me all the details, what happened in there, huh? Yeah. Empathize. You know, empathize means you're feeling with them, not for them, versus sympathy. With them. Ask things from their perspective and not yours. You got to know how they feel. Their feelings are very important. Very important. So I want everybody to cue in on that. You know? Very, very important. Paraphrase. Learn how to paraphrase what they're saying. All right? I do want to focus on body language. That's very important. Body language. You know? So, you know, we need to address body language. And this is good for parents to do it with you know, as you're married, with your spouse. Okay, it's important to do this. It's important to do it with your children. If you're done with anybody and you're by yourself, it's important to do this so you can relate to others in a better way. If you're a salesman or, you know, any kind of job, any kind of people skills, people position, you need to have this, okay? This is critical. It's a people skill. All right? Yeah. Body language is referred to as nonverbal cues, right? Now, statistics say that 93% of effective communication is through nonverbal cues. Broken down, we have 55% is through body language and 38% through tone of voice, like And only 7% is through actual words. This is why it's important to understand what I call the 93-7 principle of communication. The 93-7 principle of communication. Since the vast majority of communication that gets through is nonverbal, we have to recognize what we are communicating. Observe children as they model the parents' behavior. They're more influenced by the body language and tone of voice than by their actual words. Do as I say, not as I do. Does not work as we see children, teens, and adults follow what they see, not what they hear. The saying, kids be what they see, is more accurate. I said it before. So are you slouching, standing, folding your arms, or leaning forward in the chair? Look at your hands on your hips, looking at the clock constantly, 1 foot out the door while talking. Huh? Observe yourself standing while others are sitting, holding a conversation while looking at TV or on a computer, checking your emails on your iPhone, huh? You have to have some congruency. Yeah, congruency by yourself in this regard. The word congruent means matching, agreeing, coinciding, aligning, huh? It sends clear, consistent messages to the other party. Excuse me, my dry throat's fasting here, you know. Incongruency, on the other hand, leads to confusion, to non-acceptance, and then to rebellion. You hear that? I'll say it again. Incongruency leads to confusion, to non-acceptance, and then to rebellion. When our youth get mixed messages, the adults are sending this subtle message to them. We don't want you to really understand our point of view, and or we are trying to hide something. Neither of these messages work. Our words have to match our body language to show that we are communicating effectively. Understanding body language increases our understanding of ourselves and others. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, you might be evaluating, judging, approving, disapproving, agreeing, disagreeing, confirming, and or denying all by your body language. As you are communicating with your child, you want to ask at various intervals about their feelings. Why is it so hard for adults to, you know, parents ask the kid, how are you really? How you doing? You don't really want to hear the answer, but how are you really feeling? How inside? Yeah? Yeah, as you're asking them how they feel, they will form, they will, from the pattern that you are establishing, bond more with you and feel really validated. Did you get that? Let me say it again. As you're asking them how they feel, they will, from the pattern you are establishing, bond more with you and feel really validated. Yeah. Yeah. Important to ask them. Ask them how do they view the world? How do they view the family? How do they view their siblings? How do they view you as a parent? If they were a parent, how would they run things? You want to know how their mind ticks. You know, you want to know what's going on inside of them. Yeah, and when they say something, validate them. Say, you know, I'm so happy that you express yourself. I might not agree with what you're saying, but I really, really, really feel good that you express yourself, you know, and you feel okay doing that. All right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Make the environment comfortable for them to express themselves. You find them opening up to you all the time, especially when they get older and they're teens and even adults. You know, when they want to share with you those little secrets, they'll be more relaxed and feel comfortable doing it. All right, very important to understand that. Very important to understand that. You know? Yeah, yeah. So I go on about body language. I want everybody to understand the 937, principle of communication. All right, now we're going to keep going. I'm just quickly summarizing the events. Personal growth areas. And next time we're going to talk about optimism. Go ahead, kind of scan that real quick. And when you're calling, I forgot to say this, but you might already know this. Just hit your number one on your telephone pad, and you'll join me in a conversation, and you can ask me questions, and I can talk back, and we can have a nice discussion. All right, and I can know how you're really feeling. I'd love to know how you're feeling. All right. So email me at nrbookclub@gmail.com. Again, nrbookclub@gmail.com. Again, nrbookclub@gmail.com. My website, after the three W's, we have cloudsofabundance.com. Again, cloudsofabundance.com. Cloudsofabundance.com. Yes. Go there, hang out. Got a nice video. It's a nice black background there on that front page. Hear that 11-minute video. Yeah, hear that video. Yeah, okay, do that. And get the book. You can go get the book today. I can mail it to you tomorrow. Reconnected, how to be mentored to the self you once were. All right? And my show called The Reconnected Show on Saturdays airs at 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Since a lot of y'all like to call on the phone and listen, you can call 347-994-2524. 347-994-2524. Again, 347-994-2524. Call at 2 o'clock. Call a minute before two. That way you can hear my theme song, Clouds of Abundance. Yeah, I have a theme song I wrote. That's my theme song there. Absolutely. And I interview guests every week addressing different personal growth topics that actually mirror my book. Yeah, for sure. So, if you want to tune in online, same network as this one, blogtalkradio.com/reconnected. Again, blogtalkradio.com/reconnected. One more time, blogtalkradio.com/reconnected. Got that? Okay. Yeah, for sure. All right, so there you go. So we're going to have a part 24 next month, and we'll finish this series real soon. I doubt it might be finished now, but I see we got a lot more to cover. So I want to make sure everybody gets it. You know, that's why I do what I do, okay? So I went through a whole drug addiction thing. I was sold drugs. I transport drugs to interstate. I've been arrested. I've been through 12 steps. I've been through all that, okay? All right? I've got 20 years as a mental health drug counselor. I became a healthy Muslim. And my life now is giving back, helping others to have the tools before redeem transformed life. All right? I tried to commit suicide in my teens. I went through all that, all right? Homelessness, I was homeless for a while. I've been through it. All right? Because I know what I'm talking about. I've been through it. I looked the devil in his face. If you email me, I can tell you more about that. Absolutely. In mental health field, oh, yes. I talk about that in the book a little bit. All right, for sure. So, oh yes. Yeah, I can talk about it for a while. So, call me or email me. Go to my website, enjoy that, get the book, and we'll meet again next week. Talk about optimism as we quickly scan these areas as it pertains to conscious parenting and personal growth. All right? I'll leave you the way I started. Only the peace that God has be with you. Ramadan Mubarak and Assalamu Alaikum.